It's easy to not take young people seriously. They have no perspective. They're short. They're usually glued to their phones or doing weird dances to TikTok in public. And there's not really much they can accomplish without the help of others, like even reaching to the top shelf of the kitchen cabinet. But that doesn't mean they don't have thoughts and feelings. In fact, we think their thoughts and feelings should be taken more seriously than older people because of how raw and concentrated they are. Young people rule. And we think, despite you, ostensibly older person's best judgment, you should take today's artists very seriously. Because he's made some of the best music of the last 20 years. Today, we are talking about none other than Justin Bieber, the king of 21st century pop. You're listening to Sounds Good to Us. My mama don't like you, and she likes everyone, and I never like to admit that I was wrong, and I've been so caught up in my job, I didn't see what's going on, but now I know I'm better sleeping on my own. Only those on the rebound know that's a lyric from Prince of Pop and Canadian singer Justin Bieber, who's the focus of today's episode of Sounds Good to Us, which you are listening to now. I am Gregory Hill.
And I'm Jordan Stone.
This is a music podcast where two friends of 21 years and counting pick one artist per episode and talk about why that artist is awesome to us, even in the preposterously small chance that you might not think so. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Jordan, all these episodes, one of us takes the head, one of us takes the heart. You're going to take the head. And this week you told me that your claim was going to be that Justin Bieber is the reigning king of pop. I want you to tell us what you mean by that.
Yeah, first of all, let's go back and let's talk about previous kings of pop. And I'm going to tell you there ain't many. First is the OG Elvis Presley. Side note, I'm not an Elvis fan. Elvis ain't shit compared to Chuck Berry. Greg, I know you agree with that.
Fuck Elvis.
He can kiss my ass, but he was still the king of pop in the 50s and 60s.
Let me tell you a side before you get on to the next one. I'll tell you a side story about Elvis. So oftentimes looking backwards, we don't have the perspective of people who are living in the moment. When I was a little kid, I went to my mom's childhood bedroom and I found a bunch of records by a gentleman by the name of Pat Boone. And I was like, why do you have so many Pat Boone records when Elvis was obviously, this is before I knew about Chuck Berry to the extent that I should have. And like, why didn't you have it? And she was like, I don't know. Elvis was the king, but for cool kids. Pat Boone was the king for kids like me. And I was like, okay, cool. Got it.
That's funny. Yeah, Pat Boone. Oh my God. Don't look up Pat Boone. Don't even worry about it. Second is easily Michael Jackson. And I'm going to give Michael Jackson three decades of reign, 70s, 80s, and 90s. I don't think that's even arguable. Third king of pop, with an asterisk, Justin Timberlake. I question his longevity. I think acting and other endeavors kind of got in the way and distracted from the music. So I'm giving him like 2.5, but not really. But now, current times, the reigning king of pop is Justin Bieber. And I'm sorry, not sorry. It's too late now to say sorry. He is your reigning king of pop, and we're not going to apologize for it. I'm going to be arguing that in today's episode.
I can't argue with your conviction, but I'm interested to see your arguments throughout the episode. I got an easy job this episode. I'm just going to take the heart. I'm just going to be effusive and enthusiastic about how awesome Biebs is. I think his music simply slaps no matter what era of his career we're talking about. So Jordan, as we get into the first segment here, I want you to tell me, when did you first believe in Justin Bieber?
I remember it vividly when I first heard Justin Bieber. And I'm going to tell the backstory. And I think this is the first time I've mentioned this on the podcast, but from 2009 to 2013, I worked for Taylor Swift on her management team, 13 Management. I ran all of her digital marketing, including her website, fan club, social media, and a bunch more stuff. Shout out to any Taylor Connect and Taylor Nation members. Anyways, back in those days, Taylor would make video blogs. And I can tell you, she would make them herself on her own. She'd film backstage at concerts, in our office, hanging out with her friends. Then she released them on social media for her fans. Fun fact, I was in a couple of these videos, and no, I'm not going to tell you which ones, but I was there. I don't want you to look it up. So these videos always had a backing audio track. Think like a soundtrack. She would put over these, you know, the videos of her antics. And in August of 2009, she released her video blog titled Your World is My World, featuring a song from a brand new artist named Justin Bieber. And that song was called One Time. You can find that video on YouTube, which takes me to my second story. In June of 2010, I was in Foxborough, Massachusetts at Gillette Stadium with Taylor for her show up there, and Justin Bieber opened. I got to meet him backstage. It was pretty brief. It was the only time I ever met him. Nice kid. Nothing negative to say about him. I liked him, and I wish I had something interesting to say about that story, but I don't. So I'll move on to my final story. My final Bieber story is in 2012. Scooter Braun tried to recruit me to work for him. So to leave Taylor, come work for him. So I'm doing all of the online digital marketing for Taylor, and he wanted me to move to LA and run digital marketing for his artists. Well, he gave me a bullshit offer, and he knows it. And I was like, thanks, but no thanks. I gave him the cold shoulder. So my story is I could have run digital marketing for Bieber, and this would all be a different story, but here we are, Greg. We're doing a podcast on Justin Bieber. And you know what? I would much rather be here doing this than that. So let's get it popping.
We call this the podcast of the people.
Damn right.
Because you have no disclosures you have to make. You're just a fan. I have some very visceral memory of when I first heard about Justin Bieber, which I think always will in my mind and emotionally connect me to him as an artist. From 2008 to 2011, I was an elementary school teacher at the school in the North City area, Walnut Park neighborhood of St. Louis. And I mentioned in previous episodes, this experience was actually sort of a font of musical inspiration for me because I was around all these students and I was hearing the music that they were listening to. And it was all music that as someone who just recently graduated college, I wasn't like tapped into anymore, right? These are what the kids were listening to. And now I'm old basically. And, you know, most notably the example of this was a fifth grader introduced me to Kendrick Lamar before Good Kid, Mad City came out, which was the best. And it was at this time that it just became impossible and undeniable to escape the musical stylings of one Justin Drew Bieber because Baby became the song that permeated the hallways of Confluence Academy in 2010. I shit you not. You could not go 5 fucking minutes without someone singing Baby. Kindergartners, through 8th graders, to teachers, it didn't matter. This was the song of the year. And it was also around this time that I learned that my shyest student, just that one kid, almost like from a movie, who would just never talk. I never heard him talk. He wouldn't interact with anyone. He was incredibly shy and incredibly introverted. And as a teacher, it was my job to pull something out of the students, get them motivated, get them learning, but just nothing ever worked. And so at this moment, I found out that it was his dream, his very specific dream, to rap Ludacris's verse in Baby in front of the entire school at the talent show. And so this wasn't like a fucking, you know, Make-A-Wish Foundation situation. We could make this happen. The talent show was coming up.
Yeah.
And so he really wanted the support of teachers, right? Because no kids, there weren't like kids playing instruments at the school. And he wanted the whole, like a whole band to be there. So he finally let it slip to his homeroom teacher that he wanted to do this. And he wanted some of us to play with him because he'd found out that we kind of jammed on the side and stuff. This was the only catch. In order for him to reach his dream, 4 middle-aged white men had to get on stage and play the backing to fucking Justin Bieber's Baby live in front of the entire school. So it was like us reliving our own fears as little kids. There was me, the Spanish teacher. There was a homeroom teacher, the kindergarten teacher, who's actually a local musician and really good. And then the science teacher, who we all played backing for Baby. We formed this band. We practiced after school in the gymnasium. There was this stage. I can picture it like I'm there right now, that it like this really old school. The stage overlooks the gymnasium. All of the students would be like in chairs on the ground and we would be up on the stage playing. And so we would practice and practice and practice to make sure we got it right. The science teacher was playing drums. The homeroom teacher played bass. The kindergarten teacher, the only talented musician in the group, played guitar. And I, unfortunately, played rhythm guitar and sang Justin Bieber's part. And look,
damn
Jordan
right.
knows this. I'm a 0 out of 10 singer. And maybe that's generous. But again, this had to happen. There was nothing that was going to prevent this from happening. It comes the night of the talent show and the student is just so nervous. He's almost shaking. Like he doesn't want to go out and he keeps getting us to have to talk him out of it. He's like, look, I can't do this. I can't. And we're like, look, you come this far. It can't get any worse than you backing out. Like you got to go out there and you got to do this. Yeah, get over your fear. And no matter what happens, we've got your back, right? So he finally goes out there and I was terrible, right? So I'm singing this Justin Bieber part. And I'm a bad singer anyway, and I'm, you know, fucking up guitar parts. The drummer is off. The guitarist sounds great. And it's just the four of us out on stage. But then, after laughing and, you know, there weren't any boos, but the major moment here is it gets to Luda's part. And the student emerges from the curtain and just starts fucking slaying Ludacris's part. This is a fourth grader, right? He fucking nailed it. He spent absolute fire. Luda. When I was 13, I had my first love. There was nobody that compared to my baby, and nobody came between us or could ever come above. She had me going crazy. Oh, I was stars. And the crowd went wild. It was like the Beatles. Girls were literally rushing up to the stage, screaming. He's just swagging all over the place. They're trying to shake his hand, reach out to him like he's an actual star, a fourth grader, just having the moment of his life. And he just completely took over the room. We had no idea he had it in him, and his classmates didn't think he had it in him, but that night he did it. He fucking did it, and it was awesome, and I'll never forget the look on his face backstage afterwards. It was just pure and absolute accomplishment. So I will forever be a Justin Bieber fan because he inspired something in that student that no That's one awesome. Else was able to do up to that point.
Is that on YouTube?
No, it wasn't recorded at all.
I was hoping it wasn't, because that in his mind, he's a legend, which, you know, which is great. Yeah. He can retell this story and people can't just go watch it, right? And start to pick it apart and stuff. Because he's got to be, what, 18 years old now?
Oh, that's a good question. Ish. I can't do the math in my head. But yeah, like, he's older
ish,
now.
Right? Like 18. He's probably like going into college. And he probably still tells that story, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the number one talent show performance I've ever seen. And this That's is awesome. Jordan and I saw Kesha play Karma Police at our eighth grade talent Never heard show. Of her. So this was better.
We did go to high school with Kesha, for those taking notes at home.
You can actually go on YouTube. It's on, and look, Kesha Middle School, and it's her singing Karma Police, which is interesting. We were in the audience. All right, let's get into the artist background here. I'm going to teach you a little bit about Biebs. Justin Drew Bieber is a Canadian singer and pop musician from London, Ontario, Canada. He was born on March 1st, 1994, which time of this recording makes him 27 years old, which it's like one of those athletes that gets drafted really young. And then you like this, like Mike Trout, this guy's been in the league forever and he's still only 27 years old. There's so much of his career ahead of him. I didn't know this. He attended a French language immersion school, which I think is a really fun fact. And he also apparently graduated with a 4.0 GPA from high school. Good job, Biebs. That both surprises and sort of doesn't surprise me, Jordan. At an early age, he learned how to play piano, drums, guitar, trumpet. His breakout came out via YouTube. This is early days of YouTube. Basically, just videos of him singing were posted online. These are very early days of the site. And he became one of YouTube's first viral stars. In 2007, Jordan mentioned earlier Scooter Braun. Scooter Braun was his manager, accidentally clicked on one of these YouTube videos. He wasn't searching for it. No one really sent it to him. He just kind of got there somehow. There's discrepancies on how exactly this happened accidentally, but he got there and he started playing one of the YouTube videos and immediately just figured out, like, I have to sign this guy. And he tracked him down, went to the theater where Bieber was playing and watched him play. Ultimately then helped him move to Atlanta and he began singing with Usher. His first single, One Time, peaked at 17 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts, eventually was certified platinum. And this was before his debut album came out. So that's impressive enough.
I've never heard of
that. Yeah, three more of his singles then also charted in the top 40 of the Billboard Top 100, all before the album was released. So he's the only solo artist in history who's had four singles chart in the top 40 of the Billboard Hot 100 before the debut album was released. That's incredible.
Yeah, insane.
His musical style can be described as pop and R&B, best captured in a quote from Jody Rosen of Rolling Stone, saying that his music offered a gentle introduction to the mysteries and heartaches of adolescence, songs flushed with romance, but notably free of sex itself. He's explicitly cited Chris Brown, Michael Jackson, The Beatles, Boyz II Men, Mariah Carey, Justin Timberlake, Stevie Wonder, Tupac, and Usher as his musical inspirations, which coincidentally are also my musical influences. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like many child musicians, his voice broke at some point. This was something that if you read early on reviews of Justin Bieber, people were just waiting for this to happen. Like, what happens when he gets to puberty? How is his voice going to change? And what is that going to do to his career? But then I think, Jordan, you'll probably argue here that his post-puberty career is way better than his pre-puberty career, right?
I mean, I think his album that just came out, Justice, is his best album. And it just came out.
Crazy. To date, he's released six studio albums, My World 2.0 in 2010, the holiday album Under the Mistletoe in 2011, which is my personal favorite, Believe in 2012, Purpose in 2015, Changes in 2020, and Justice in 2021. He sold an estimated 150 million records throughout his career, and at one point, Baby was the highest-selling digital song of all time, which was then later replaced by Despacito, which he is also featured on. He might be the most commercially successful artist we've done on this podcast, at least maybe by the end of his career, but he's also won two Grammys. So we're talking about some, at least, critical acclaim, maybe not Pitchfork,
absolutely.
But this guy's got it going on. So I want you then, as we know a little bit more about Bieber, we've connected a little bit more about our memories of Bieber. I want you now to dig in deep throughout his catalog, pick one song that you think best reflects his sound.
Yeah, and as a reminder, I am making the argument that Justin Bieber is the reigning king of pop. Let's not forget that.
We won't forget.
No. The tough thing about Bieber is, and choosing a song to describe his sound, is we've watched him grow up. 2021 Bieber isn't 2009 Bieber. He was 15 years old when his first album was released, and like you said, Greg, he's 27 now. For that reason, I'm going to go with Late Stage Bieber and the song that defines his sound, Sorry, from 2015's Purpose. Is it too late now to say sorry? Because I'm missing more than just your body. Oh, is it too late now to say sorry? Yeah, I know all that. So I think Purpose is the best blend of old versus new Bieber. Now that's obviously in the middle of his career, so I'm kind of cheating there, but it doesn't sound dated, but it doesn't sound new like Justice, his latest album. So let's do that quintessential Bieber song checklist that we've started to do for other artists, Greg. First, soft piano. So notice this song opens with a very soft piano, almost like it's not going to be a high tempo pop song. And you've got the hip hop elements as that second checklist item. EDM production. Justin Bieber has a lot of EDM and dance music in his music, and then those strong pop stylings. I know that's a very generic and vague statement, but this song has that pop styling that you want to hear in a Justin Bieber song. So I chose Sorry.
I like your response. I think I completely agree with the point you made that an artist with a long career, and let's be honest, Bieber has had a long career at this point. He's been making music professionally and commercially longer than the Beatles were a band. So let's put some fucking respect on the name of his career. We lauded Cake in a recent episode about how their sort of Cakeness as a band, their sound, remained intact consistently throughout their career. Their first album sounds exactly like their last album. Their sound has not changed at all, but somehow they succeeded in not getting stale. Well, for someone like Justin Bieber, to your point, he can't do that. His first album literally cannot sound like his last album because his voice has changed. The entire musical landscape has changed. And so he's had to constantly reinvent his sound. And to your point, I think he's successfully done that. Yep. So you took, you know, sort of a later stage Bieber, like mid-career Bieber, maybe some would argue peak, but you said that, you know, his most recent album is the best. If I'm going to choose one song, I'm just going to go a little bit earlier, because although, like, whenever we do these, I think we should always choose the sound of the artist sort of now, because that's their, like, sort of most recent foot forward. I'm going to pick an early one just to be different. And the early one I'm going to go with is off of his first album, My World 2.0, the song You, the letter U, Smile, the fourth single from the debut album. I really love this song. I mean, I think it's really good. It was a single, so it kind of fits here. It's repetitive, but it gets in your head. It's sort of this sort of earworm that we've talked about in previous episodes. It has some pretty stellar harmonies. I think it shows off his voice well. So you talked about sort of the Bieber checklist. I'm going to do a subgenre called the early stage Bieber checklist. It's a much simpler production. So you mentioned that EDM sort of layering of beats. This doesn't have that. It's very straightforward. It has a much slower rhythm. You know, even Baby, like, it speeds up a lot, but the beginning of that song sort of sets a slower, almost like a power ballad tone. Just a ballad, I guess. It's not really a power ballad. Obviously, much higher voice check given his age. And you hear a much stronger influence of his earlier musical mentors. You hear 80s R&B and pop. Specifically, you hear a lot of Michael Jackson in this. You could probably play the song to a certain amount of people and they would just think that it was a Jackson 5. And I think this sort of speaks to what him and his sort of the context of people around him who are making his music wanted him to sound like in 2010.
This is a contemporary Jackson 5 song. It sounds just like Jackson 5. I'd love to go back to like 1970 and hear Jackson 5 record a version of this song. I think it'd be amazing. Good choice.
You know what we should get on for our future debate episode? My hot take, Jackson 5 is better than Michael Jackson's solo career.
That's a hot take, and I'm down with to have that argument. Let's do it.
Sadness. All right, next we're going to do some artist comps. Usually here we try to understand, are there musicians, artists that remind us of this artist? Or if you like this, you might like this other artist? Or are there influences? We kind of take this in a bunch of different directions. But Jordan, I want you to get us kicked off. What artist do you want to highlight here that reminds you of Bieber or potentially influenced Bieber?
For the artist comps today, I'm going to focus on inspirations for Justin Bieber. Artists that came before him that shaped him into the reigning king of pop. So let's start with his formative years, 2000 to 2008. He was around 6 to 14 years old in this time span. What was Justin listening to? What shaped him as an artist? So let's do this. In a 2011 interview with Vanity Fair, Justin considers the best, in quotes, in his mind, to be the Beatles, Michael Jackson, and Tupac. Quote, music is music, and I'm definitely influenced by Michael Jackson and Boys to Men and people who were black artists. That's what I like. But I like their voices, and I like how they entertain. It's not about what color they are. So on that note, my first comp for Justin Bieber is With You by Chris Brown from 2007's Exclusive. Hey, little mama, who you're a stunner, hot little figure. Yes, you a winner, and I'm so glad to be yours. You're a class all your own, and ooh, little cutie, when you talk to me, I swear the whole world stops. You're my star. Not only is this a comp, but this is pretty much a Justin Bieber song. And this was what, like a year or two before he released his first hit, about 2 years before. It's almost like he took the sound of this song and was like, I'm going to replicate that. It's uncanny how much this song sounds like Bieber and vice versa. You can tell that he's not only inspired by Chris Brown, but I even argue that he attempts to emulate Chris Brown, his voice, his style. This was one of the easiest decisions I've made on this podcast, is putting this on the comps list. This song had to be a comp.
Yeah, I can hear it. Since I'm just doing the fan thing, so mine are way easier because I'm just like, basically other people who are in the orbit of Justin Bieber that we all as Justin Bieber fans might like. The first one is, I think this one's pretty clear, Jason Derulo and his song Take You Dancing, which was actually released in 2020. Ain't no dance floor.
your best moment. Anything could happen. Ever since I met you, no need to imagine. Baby, all I'm asking is let me take you
dancing. It's so weird doing comps for an artist as popular as Justin Bieber, because all of the comps are also insanely popular. Take You Dancing has 414 million plays on Spotify. That puts it probably in the upper echelon of all artists that we've done on this podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
And it came out last year, so this is only 1 year of plays. This song is really well produced. It has a really catchy hook, and I'm sure it really plays well in clubs. It just makes you want to dance. It has that similar R&B and EDM genre bending that we've talked about with Bieber, and Jason's voice is amazing. I mean, Jason Derulo has a way better voice than Justin Bieber does, and I think this song, like in a vacuum, is better than, honestly, I'm speaking even as a fan of Justin Bieber, better than a lot of Justin Bieber songs. I love this song, and I think that if you like Justin Bieber or have heard of Justin Bieber and you're sitting there and like, I want to listen to some more pop music, and you haven't listened to Jason Derulo, that might be surprising if you haven't, because he's insanely popular. Give it a try.
Next comp. For the record, I wanted to do Usher in this spot, and there's no question that Usher was a major influence on Justin. Greg, you brought up how he's one of his mentors and really helped him in his career. So that's kind of cheating. I think it's too easy. And most fans know that direct influence of Usher on Bieber. So let's take it back a little bit to our era, Greg. I'm talking 1991. Mm-hmm. I'm talking one of the best R&B songs of all time from one of the best R&B groups of all time. End of the Road by Boyz II Men from Coolie High Harmony. This song is a motherfucking jam, period. If you don't like this song, your ears are broken. It makes me want to do a Boyz II Men episode. Greg, I need you to commit on air right now. Are we doing a Boyz II Men? Okay, that's 100%. Official. You heard it.
Right it's after Faces.
Actually, it's on digital, ones and zeros, but doesn't count. Doesn't matter. This song influenced all R&B that came after it, period. And Justin Bieber was no exception.
Next up for me is Charlie Puth and his song We Don't Talk Anymore featuring Selena Gomez from 2016's 9-track Mind, which oddly enough has 12 tracks. Like we used to do, we don't laugh anymore. What was all of it for? We don't talk anymore like we used to do. This song has 1.1 billion streams according to Spotify, which is just amazing. Again, we're not picking out like obscure artists, because there's no like indie artists that compare to Justin Bieber. So there's no one that I'm talking about that I'm introducing you to. But if you're curious of who I think is in the Bieber orbit, I think Charlie Puth is a perfect comp here. He occupies a similar space as Biebs, similar ages, similar genres, similar influences. From New Jersey, and also came to prominence after starting his own YouTube channel, which is a theme you're going to hear in a lot of musicians of this generation. This is a great pop formula song. Jordan said earlier there's sort of this pop sound to music, and he said that was generic. I think, to me in my head, I know exactly what you mean. There's this sort of formula to the construction of the song, the way it sounds. It is designed to be popular. It is designed to be safe. And that's not a bad thing. And this song, I think, effectively uses Selena Gomez's vocals throughout. It's not just like, hey, take a verse. She's throughout the song. She really feels integrated into the song, rather than it's like, hey, record a track, send it to us, and we'll figure out a place to put it.
I like it. For my last comp, I really wanted to go with Michael Jackson. But I think we've talked enough about that comp in this episode. Every pop artist after like 1980 sounds like Michael Jackson. So giving this a lot of consideration, though, I'm going to go with Justin Timberlake and Summer Love from 2006's Future Sex Love Sounds. Riding in the drop top with the top down, so you're switching lanes, girl. Pull up to the red light, looking right, come and let me get your name, girl. Tell me where you're from, what you do, what you like, let me pick your brain, girl.
tell me how they got that pretty.
So this song was released in 2006, again, a few years before Bieber started his career. I can tell you and guarantee you that he was listening to this song in 2006, leading right up into his record deal and then recording his first album. This song sonically is everything that Justin Bieber would later become. You just heard it in that clip. You hear the hip hop influence. Timberlake in this song is doing that kind of Bieber style of singing with rapping. You can hear that in the clip. And you've got pop, R&B, electronica. Might as well be a Bieber song. Had to be on the comps list.
Like it. I'll round us out here with my last comp. And I'm just going to bring in the summer vibe. This was actually, I think, on our summer playlist of 2021.
Damn.
My last choice is Shawn Mendes and his collaboration with Camila Cabello, Señorita, from 2019's Shawn Mendes.
You feel like, oh, la, 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 yeah. I love it when you call me Señorita. I wish I could pretend I didn't need you, but every touch is
one. Let's talk about comps. Shawn's Canadian. They all know each other. He's attracted the viral attention of yep. the masses on YouTube. And also Vine. Jordan, shout out to Vine. RIP yes. Vine. And he posted covers a lot in the early stages here. Most notably, the one that brought him internet virality was a clip on Vine that he posted, which was a cover of Justin Bieber's As Long As You Love Me.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Señorita, the song that I chose, has 1.9 billion streams on Spotify.
That's it?
I thought this was a bug. Like, when I looked at this, I was like, this can't be. There's two.
There's an extra
either
zero.
I don't know how commas work in a number. I just, it blows my mind. It doesn't surprise me. This song is one of my favorite songs from 2019. It's a great song still. I still listen to it now. It has a fantastic vibe, and it has a really catchy chorus that stays in your head for days. It's a great song. I can point you in no better direction than Shawn Mendes. All right, so Jordan, now we're going to dig in a little bit more to the music itself. And every episode, we listen to every single song that has ever been put to, I guess, digital by the artist, which takes a long time. We listen to all of it, and then we decide, how do we craft the most perfect playlist for that artist? So we are going to select 10 songs from Justin Bieber's oeuvre and try to make the best playlist of all time. You can actually check these playlists out. We have them from all of the episodes on soundsgoodtous.com. Jordan, what is the first track on our ultimate Bieber playlist?
Track one is Die in Your Arms from 2012's Believe.
'Cause every time you touch me,
so this might be my favorite Bieber song. I've always loved this song from when it came out. Again, it sounds like a Jackson 5 song. Kind of on theme here is the reigning king of pop, Bieber. That is what I'm doing for this episode, which is probably why I'm drawn so much to it. Jackson 5, Michael Jackson, can't deny, one of the best ever. It's got a great sound to it. It sounds old. It sounds new. And I've never heard anyone else talk about this song before, and I hope there are Bieber fans listening right now. They're like, I love that song, because I'm the only one I know that listens to it. I love the snaps, that 60s doo-wop, that vibe this song has. I wish he'd make more songs like this. When he released this song, I was like, I hope that future Bieber sounds like this. Now, obviously, that's 2012. I didn't know it was coming, and I love his new stuff, but this song is really cool. Check it out.
Awesome. Solid start. Track number two. I'm just going to focus on my favorites. Don't at me, Beliebers, if I choose the wrong ones. I'm just going to choose the ones that I love. And first up is my favorite song from My World 2.0, his debut album, Somebody to Love. Now, a couple quibbles with the song to get started, I want to get out of the way. The song opens with, "For you, I'd write a symphony." And I understand the like conviction and depth that a young Justin Bieber thinks that that will convey, or whoever wrote the song. I actually didn't look up if he has a writing credit on it. Doesn't matter. We're just going to assume that Justin Bieber is the sole creator of all of this music until we learn otherwise. But "For you, I'd write a symphony." Now, for me saying that, that would mean a lot. If I went to my girlfriend and said, "For you, I'm going to write a symphony," she should be impressed.
Yeah.
But for a professional musician to do that, it's just kind of like, is that really a tall order? Like, you're surrounded relatively by musicians. You have money. You can probably make that happen pretty easily. He could have done that like on a Tuesday, but I digress. But then he says, "I'd run 1,000 miles. Now we're talking. That's harder. That is love.
Some Forrest Gump shit.
Yeah, exactly. I love the beat. It has this sort of simple bass line. It has this higher synth loop. The production is good. It's not complicated. Again, early Bieber is extremely straightforward. You could say it's vanilla. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's what makes it catchy in this case. And it's easy to make fun of a song like this for being phony. There's probably a handful of people who liked early stage Justin Bieber that were older that liked it ironically. I don't like this song ironically. I like this song for reals.
Mm-hmm. Track 3 is "Holy" from 2021's Justice.
The way you hold me, hold me. Feel so holy, 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 holy. Oh God, running to the altar like a track star. Can't wait another second.
A few months ago, Greg, I got into my car, turned it on, and this song was on the radio. I'd never heard it before. I just froze. I was like, shit, this song is really, really good. It also features one of our favorites, Chance the Rapper, and I didn't know he had a verse on this song. Please listen to more of this album. It is really, really good. This is the new Justin Bieber, the, you know, I guess more mature, you would say, but this is such a solid album, and Holy is one of the best songs from that album.
Next up for me is 2011's Mistletoe.
Everyone's gathering around the fire. Chestnuts roasting like a hot July. I should be chilling with my folks, I know. But I'ma be under the mistletoe. Word on the street, Santa's coming.
God damn it, I love this song. And what a flex. Let's just sit back and bask in the Bieberness here. His second studio album was a holiday one.
Yep.
Second album awesome. Drops. Holiday, not a single. A full album, studio album, with original music and standards. I played this album front to back pretty much exclusively. It was like the only music I listened to for the month of December of 2011. And I actually don't really give that much of a shit about the holiday. Like, I'm not like, I don't decorate my house. I don't care about really Christmas at all. But this album occupied my attention for the entire month. I also love Fa La La. Shout out to Fa La La fans and Drummer Boy. His rendition of Drummer Boy fucking slaps. Obviously, in sort of the commercial industrial musical complex, it loves when a famous artist releases a bunch of covers of famous holiday songs. They go into a booth for like 2 hours. They just sing their version of a song everyone knows and they distribute it. And it makes a ton of money. But this is different. This is original music. Now, he does have standards, but Mistletoe is a new song, and it's a great song. And I think for me personally, the best holiday music is music you're willing to listen to in the summer, too. Like, I listen to some great holiday songs in July. Why not? If it's a good song, it's a good song. This song does that for me. I listened to it like a couple of weeks ago before I even knew we were doing this episode. The truly, truly special ones are original songs. The bridge is great. Bieber's really going for it with the vocals. And then to round us out, I also wanted to take a chance here on what my top 5 holiday albums of all time. Number 5 on my list, various artists, Just Can't Get Enough, New Wave Xmas from 1996. I love new wave music, and this is a great new wave Christmas album. Number 4, Jacob Miller and Ray Eyes, Natty Christmas from 1978. Number 3, Willie Nelson's Pretty Paper from 1979. Number 2, Death Row Records, Christmas on Death Row from 1996. It's a fucking amazing album. And then number 1, Phil Spector's A Christmas Gift to You, which features Darlene Love, the Ronettes, and others from the fantastic stable of artists on the Phil's label in 1963. Christmas Gift to You is wonderful. You've probably heard most of the songs on it, but you should give it a whole try.
Next track is Purpose from Purpose.
And you've given me the best gift that I've ever known. You give me purpose. Every day you give me purpose.
So full disclosure, I had not heard this song until this week. My soon-to-be sister-in-law, shout out to Jenna, is a huge Bieber fan, and I texted her this week for help on the episode. And this song is a fan favorite. It is a really, really good song, but I'm adding it to the playlist as a shout out to the Beliebers who are listening right now. And I want to say one thing. We're going to get serious for a second. I respect the hell out of pop music fandoms. I'm sorry, but if I met someone and they were like, pop music is crap, I only listen to Neutral Milk Hotel and Arcade Fire, I'd be like, cool, so you're trying to fit in with your new hipster friend groups and you can't think for yourself. Being a huge Justin Bieber fan takes more guts than being a hipster. No one has to defend themselves when they love Radiohead, right? Like, no one like starts questioning them and starts judging them. It's like, oh, you love Radiohead, okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. If you're a Belieber, or maybe Twilight is your favorite book series, you're always on the defensive. People learn that and like, well, why is Twilight the best book series of all time? That's crap, right? And then they have to defend Twilight, and it becomes this whole thing. Well, that's all I'm trying to say. Shout out to the Beliebers. Do your thing and do it proudly.
I think, honestly, if there's like one mission statement for how we think about music, we talked about this before, is that like when people say pop music, they think Lady Gaga, Britney, Bieber, whatever. Popular music is commercially distributed music on major record labels. Yeah. So like, out of the two people that you randomly chose to like call out douchebags, I would argue Arcade Fire is a pop band.
Yeah, they've won Grammy for Album of the Year.
Like, yeah.
So maybe it wasn't the best choice, but
still. No. I'm not. My intention is not to like, what I'm saying is that Arcade Fire is not some like underground. No. Like, the only people that could really argue against you are people who only listen to like super underground punk
shit and, that I've never heard of.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, literally never heard the band's name.
Yeah, but if it's popular, it's commercially distributed, mm-hmm. and it has merit still. I mean, it should have merit. So I'm on the same page. Next up for me is a song, Boyfriend. Specifically, the acoustic version here is what I'm referencing from 2013's Believe.
If I was you, if I was your man, never leave you, girl. I just wanna. If I was your boyfriend, I'd never let you go.
I assume, I didn't look this up because I didn't want to be disappointed. I assume this song has like 2 million covers of YouTube of just a person with their phone facing them covering this song. And it's a great, I kind of play acoustic guitar, I want to make a girl or guy notice me song. PSA, if you're considering trying to get a person to notice you, please do not record a version of you singing this song or any song. Just be yourself and be nice. And if they don't notice you, someone will. Like, just please
don't require a song.
It doesn't. The chorus is catchy and it really shows his vocal range, which I do believe that Justin Bieber is a good singer. Also, what's interesting is for a crush song, the lyrics aren't this way, but the mix is kind of dark. It like has like a dark vibe.
Yeah.
It's not menacing, like, make me your boyfriend or else, but it's sad and longing in a way that most songs like this aren't, which I think is interesting.
Next track is Lonely from Justice.
What if you had it all, but nobody to call? Maybe then you'd know me. 'Cause I've had it.
I chose this song primarily for the content of the lyrics. I also love the simplicity. This is one of the realest songs you'll ever hear. It's a song about sacrificing his youth and privacy for everything. And that the payoff of that hasn't always been so positive like most people think it would be. I'm going to quote from the song here. What if you had it all, but nobody to call? Maybe then you'd know me, 'cause I've had everything, but no one's listening. And that's just fucking lonely. I encourage you to listen to this song. It will give you a deep appreciation for the things that child stars go through. I think we all take our childhoods for granted. I mean, the act of being a child. It's a time that you can never get back. You can't repeat it.
Next up for me is another crossover hit, which is 10,000 Hours by Dan and Shay and Justin Bieber. So for those of you who don't listen to a lot of country music like Jordan and I do, you kind of have to understand what contextualizes this song and specifically Dan and Shay in the industry. So there was this concept called bro country in the 2010s. It dominated 2010 country music, and it's very like male centric. It's known for its rap and its R&B influence. But I think to me, at least, Jordan, you might disagree with this, in a very like inauthentic and cynical way. It's like just like people like rap, so I'm gonna rap, y'all. And it's most of it's terrible. There is, like anything, there is very good and there's very bad. But then after bro country, sort of the reaction to that is boyfriend country.
Right.
So where bro country was like objectifying to women.
Yeah.
Boyfriend country props women up on stage and says like, I'll do anything for you. It's made for wedding first dance songs and just play when someone else, you ask someone to the prom, right? I will say there's a lot of bad boyfriend country music, but Dan and Shay are one of the best, in my opinion, boyfriend country bands. And I think Bieber is a perfect fit here. Besides Mistletoe and Jordan's next choice, I'm not going to spoil it, Jordan, but it's, I think, undeniably the best Bieber song. This is probably my favorite song we'll talk about today. Is it cheesy? Undoubtedly so, but it's insanely melodic, and it's just a really good version of what a pop country crossover song can be, and it's one that I'll listen to a lot.
The next track and final track for me on our playlist is one that if you put all of Bieber's songs into a computer, artificial intelligence, and that computer decided objectively Bieber's best song, it would be Love Yourself from 2015's Purpose.
Mm-hmm. My mama don't like you, and she likes everyone. And I never like to admit that I was wrong. And I've been so caught up in my job, didn't see what's going on, and now I know.
I personally saved the best for last, and this is one of the top 15 pop songs of the last two decades, no question. Guess what, Greg? You know this, but the listeners might not. It was written by Ed Sheeran. That's why it's so good. Ed is an incredible songwriter, one of the best of our generation. It's a magnificent, simple pop song. If you don't like or at least respect this song, here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to take your phone out of your pocket, pick it up off your desk, console your car, wherever your phone is right now. Okay, do you have your phone? If you don't like this song, so we're going to do. Open the podcast app. I'm just going to sounds good to us. Hit pause on this episode. Go listen to something else. I'm serious. I need you to respect this song. And if you don't, you should pause my voice right now. Just go listen to something else. There's plenty of podcasts out there. That's all I got to say about that.
I like it. Also, fun fact. So as Jordan mentioned, Ed Sheeran wrote this song. He actually wrote it. A parent story that he tells is he wrote it. Someone asked him, like, hey, write a breakup song. And he's picked up his guitar and he started riffing. And this was a song that came out on a tour bus, is what the way that I understand this.
That's awesome.
The lyric actually was, you know, in the song, it says, if you like the way you look so much, then maybe you should go and love yourself. The original lyric, which makes a lot more sense, if you like the way you look so much, then maybe you should go fuck yourself.
Better.
It's a lot better, and it's such a more interesting lyric because it's a double entendre, right? Well, if you're so obsessed with your own self, then just instead of fucking me, fuck yourself, and also go fuck
Pretty
yourself.
Good.
It's great.
I want to hear that. I want to hear Ed Sheeran record that version. That'd be awesome.
I'm sure he has played it live before. Probably. I should have looked that up before telling that story. But yeah, that's undeniably it is the Mount Rushmore, and there's only one head on it in my mind, and that's coming as a Bieber fan. Next up is my favorite new Bieber song to close us out. Again, a lot of times you talk about an artist like this that's known for sort of early career stuff, you tend to just index for the famous early stuff. This is a very famous song, but I wanted to make sure that I included something that's most recent that I love, and it's Peaches from 2021's Justice.
And I see you, the way I breathe you in, it's the texture of of your skin. I wanna wrap my arms around you, baby, never let you go. And I see you, it's nothing like your touch.
And, you know, Bieber's a star, right? Like, he can get whatever he wants, and he wants us to know that he can get his stuff from the best geographic location to get it from. He gets his peaches from Georgia. He gets his weed from California, right? Like, that's props to Biebs. This song has 740 million streams on Spotify for a reason. It checks all of the boxes of the Bieber checklist, and it's really catchy. It's on our 2021 summer playlist. All right, so Jordan, that gets us through the Justin Bieber episode. I hope you had as much fun as I did. For those of you who are still listening after Jordan told everyone to basically go fuck themselves and stop listening to the podcast, which as the marketer, that's an interesting strategy. But if you're still here, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart and express gratitude for listening to the podcast. Anything you want to say before we wrap up?
I have a quick story for you, Greg, and it's a shout out to one of our listeners. The other night, I was sitting on the couch, and I got a random push notification from our podcast hosting partner, and it said we had a voice message. I didn't even know that our listeners could send us voice messages, so I was obviously very surprised. And so I take out my phone, and I go listen to this voice message. I'm going to play it for you here, so take a listen.
So I just stumbled across y'all's podcast and been an Avett Brother fan for quite some time. Finally went to a concert last week in Rogers, Arkansas, in small venue, lawn seating, great time. So I was just doing some checking on your Avett Brother podcast, and I've came across yours. Love everything you said. One thing I'm disappointed in, your top 10 is almost identical to mine. I was hoping to find some hidden gem I didn't know about. So I love the podcast. Keep doing what you're doing, guys.
So I just want to shout out, thank you for sending this to us. We really appreciate it. You don't have to send us a voice message, but getting any kind of feedback from y'all is really cool. It honestly makes our day. A tweet, an Instagram DM or comment. We love that kind of stuff. So just keep it coming. And thanks again for listening.
Thanks a lot for listening. And thanks a lot for sharing that. It's cool to hear.
Thank you. See ya.